Welcome to Megabucks Radio. Conversations with successful entrepreneurs, sharing their tips and strategies for success. Real world ideas that can put Megabucks in your bank account. Here's your host, Nina Hershberger.
Welcome to today's show. This is your host, Nina Hershberger. And today I have Pam Durkin on the phone with me. And Pam is a high-end designer, design professional. How would we describe you, Pam? Professional?
Yeah, interior designer, design professional, all of those work.
Well, it works for me, but now you live down in Florida. You live in Naples, which is kind of a high end. But go in your background. How in the world did you get started in that industry? We're going to talk about marketing, which is my favorite subject of all times. In fact, a particular thing in the marketing world. But I want to know, I want all the listeners to understand where you came from.
Okay. Well, interestingly enough, and it's quite a story since I've been in the industry about 30 years, but I first got introduced to the concept of interior design back in high school when I took a home economics class, if some of you might have to Google what that is. But one of the subjects we talked about was interior design. And the thing that really intrigued me was, because I've always been a creative person, but was not a fine artist in the way that some of my friends were. And so when I got introduced to design, it was this great combination of creativity, but also structure and math and some other like harder concepts, which were easier for me to kind of wrap my head around. So it was technical and creative all mixed into one. And I kind of fell in love with that. So I ended up going to college and studying that and then started my career in commercial design. I lived in the New Jersey, New York area and started in commercial design, eventually went into my own business and then moved to Florida and used all that experience to start a business in Florida. So I have an interior design business and a coaching business in Florida now.
Now, are you doing just commercial design down in Florida or are you doing residential?
So I am doing both right now, but the nice thing about what we do here in Florida is that commercial design is different than, say, up in the New York, New Jersey area where you were maybe fitting in 500 people in an office building or something like that. We call it soft commercial down here. So I'll be doing common areas of residential buildings where people are, you know, living there as well. So it will be common areas. So it's like more of a softer approach to commercial design.
So in your business, would it be 50-50, 50% residential, 50% that soft commercial?
I would say it's probably 25% commercial, 75% residential. And interestingly enough, as the economy changes and fluctuates, those percentages can change around depending on what's happening. But right now, yeah, it's 75% residential.
Okay, and the residential that you do is a higher level residential, if I understand.
Yeah, so most of the properties are $2 million and up.
So now, Pam, you know, somebody who, you know, took home economics in high school, went on into college and got an interior design degree might not think that they were qualified to design at that level. How did you get there? What happened? There's got to be a mental change.
Yeah, actually, believe it or not, what a great tie-in, but believe it or not, I was at a Dan Kennedy event, and they were talking about magnetic marketing, and I was at that point in my career where I had some good clients, some really good clients. And, you know, once you get a taste of what it's like to have a really good client, you want to figure out how to make them all that way, right? And so I was at one of these events, and literally before they could stop talking about it, I was in the back of the room buying the program because I said to myself, how I need to start being very proactive in my marketing. I was very reactive previously, like waiting. waiting for the referrals to come, waiting for the phone to ring. And this was such a different approach. I had never even thought of it before, of course, and said, this is what I need. I need to be proactively figuring out who my clients are. And so that kind of started it. And then they just really started to multiply from there.
You know, I call that hope marketing. You hope the phone will ring. You hope they will call. So describe to me that ideal client. How are they different than the everyday client?
So what I've discovered is, for me, because of where I come from up north, I still have that very, I like to make decisions quick. I want to move things along. I don't want things to linger. So I've discovered that really for me, my ideal client is someone who's a current CEO or, you know, recently retired CEO or executive, where they're used to making decisions very, very quickly. And so that is one way that I really like to work. And the thing that's great about that kind of client is that they know that when they make quick decisions, not all the decisions are going to be home runs, right? But they're getting through them quickly. So when they make those quick decisions, we're moving really fast. And sometimes, you know, the decision isn't always, you know, there's other things that come about. But when you're making quick decisions, you're just making them. So they're also very attuned and okay with, okay, if we have to make an adjustment here and it's going to cost us a little bit more because we've made this adjustment, they don't really have a problem paying for that. They, of course, believe in the power of hiring professionals because that's what they're used to. They realize they're not experts in everything and they have to surround themselves with good people. So for me, that's the type of client that I like to work with.
You know, Deanne would say that everybody's walking around with an umbilical cord wanting to plug it in.
Yes.
In other words, we do want somebody who just can make those decisions, you know, and that we don't have to think, well, should I or shouldn't I? You know, you just do it. So how did you begin to find those kind of clients?
Well, when I first got to Florida, really, and that's when things started to, you know, because it is a very affluent area where I live, is I really just got involved with a lot of my, you know, related trades. And so I started to go to meetings so that I could meet people. And then I just really realized that I get a lot of referrals. I do get referrals from clients, and that is great. But I get a lot more referrals from my builders, my realtors, my tile, you know, showroom. Like, my showrooms provide a lot of referrals, and I don't know if a lot of people think about that. And so those relationships really helped move me along and helped bring a lot of great opportunities my way and continue to do so.
So are you saying, as an interior designer, you have your own showroom? Is that unusual?
I don't have my own showroom, but I work with outside showrooms. I work with a tile showroom. I'll work with a countertop company because I'm also selecting a lot of materials for clients. So I will be doing flooring or lighting or plumbing or, you know, countertops. And so having relationships with those vendors who are also looking for the same type of clients that I'm looking for, that's the way that we start to stay in touch and opportunities start to come, because we're all in the same thing, you know, we're all looking for the same type of client.
Okay. So then that made sense. So did you and your husband purposely move from New York down to Florida, or did you meet him down there? Well, what drew you to Florida?
So what actually ended up, the reason we ended up moving to Florida is because we lived in an area in New Jersey that was very much affected by 9/11. And we had young children at the time, and we kind of were starting to reevaluate where we were living, what we were doing, how we were doing it, and decided that maybe it was time for a change. So we ended up doing some research in Florida and then deciding on Naples, and that's why we moved down here.
Okay, so you moved down there. You're new. You know that you need to engage with the tradespeople. Mm-hmm. What, Pam, what set you apart? You know what I mean? Obviously, there must have been a bunch of interior designers already down there. What made you different?
Well, we do have a lot of interior designers. In fact, I think we have the highest number of interior designers per mile in the country, or one of the highest right now. So it's a very popular place to be a designer. Honestly, I think, well, first of all, design's a very personal, it's a very personal relationship. So there has to be a good rapport when you're working with a designer, because if you've ever worked with a designer, they are into everything in your home. They know everything about you, and it's a very close relationship. So that personality has to really mesh, and that's, again, going back to the type of client that I work really well with. The other thing is, you know, I had a very unique style when we first moved down here. It was, there was a lot of traditional styling going on, and I have always been in a more modern styling. So that was actually considered unusual. So that was bringing a lot of opportunities my way. And I'm a really, I'm an over communicator. And again, this appeals to the CEO type, right? Like, they want to know something's happening. They want to be well-informed. They don't necessarily want to be involved in every decision, but they want to know that they're being well taken care of. And that is generally how I will operate. And it does go back to, you know, offering the shock and awe boxes as well, because it really is such a different approach, and it really makes people feel special.
We're going to talk about that in just a minute, but I have one more question. So are you saying you almost, so there's probably trends in interior design. Are you kind of always ahead of the trend?
Yeah. Yes. So a lot of times I'll be pushing and looking at things and talking about things that may be coming out of Europe, or that, you know, Florida will sometimes be a little bit behind some of the trends, although now we're seeing so many people move here that the turnover is happening so quick. Homes are selling and reselling within a few years and being redone. So we're starting to, I think we're seeing a lot more new and interesting things come to Florida because we have so much going on here. But I'm always trying to, like, push the envelope and look at what's different and what's new. And, you know, that's really a hallmark of what a lot of the projects is. I try to do something that hasn't been seen before.
Yeah, because, you know, if you've got so many interior designers around there, you do have to stand out. You do have to be unique. You do have to be different. Now, obviously, your personality and your ability to communicate obviously is good, but just even being ahead of those trends. So now let's talk about the subject I was so excited to be able to talk about, shock and awe. First of all, for those who are listening may not understand that terminology, tell me what to you means a shock and awe.
So for me, what I use in my shock and awe is I use it as a pre-sale tool. So what happens is, in my mind, I want to say, how can you show a prospective client that you're different? How can you show them that you're going to take such good care of them before they've given you any money? And that's a pretty hard thing to do. I mean, you can say, I'm going to be great. I'm going to communicate. I'm going to take very good care of you. And maybe you have some testimonials to that fact or something like that. But really, it's a hard concept to get. And this shock and awe box does all the, as they say, heavy lifting for me.
So this is going to a list. So you have figured out who you've not done business with in the past, but meets the criteria of the certain level of home or whatever. Am I right on that?
Actually, for me, I do it a little bit differently than that. I don't send the shock and awe boxes out to a list or, you know, a cold list or anything like that. What I do is when an opportunity comes in front of me, so whether that's a referral from another client or a referral from one of my industry partners, I will do a pre-qualification with somebody over the phone. Like, I will have a short phone conversation with them. And then if I think that they are, that it's a good, it's becoming a good fit, like it could be a good project, I will go ahead and put together a shock and awe box that I send to them before we have our first meeting. And it's not, we're still not hired yet, but I do an on-site meeting when I look at projects and things like that. And so
Yeah, that's critical. You send it before you actually physically meet with them.
I do. And it does a lot of things for me. One, it tells somebody how you're going to treat them, that this is important to you, that you're willing to put some time and effort and energy into wooing them as a client. And then within the shock and awe box, there's some things that I put in there so that they can actually get to know me a little better. They can get to know what it's like to work with a designer. I mean, I would say 90% of my clients have never worked with a designer before, or we all do it differently in our industry. Like, there's no standardization, so it can be wildly different from the experience that they've had. And so I put a lot of things in there that answer questions and give them a sense of who I am as a person, and then how well I'm going to be taking care of them and what to expect next.
So you and I are talking and saying the term shock and awe, and that terminology came from Dan Kennedy. We've heard it for several years. I've also heard it called the trust box. It is a package, and it can come in different forms. It can be in a box. It could be in an envelope. It could be in multiple delivery methods. But what it is it's through the mail. Sometimes people do FedEx. Some people do regular mail, whatever. But it is a way for them to be able to know you and trust you so that when they meet you, they will really like you. So tell me, what is your box? Is it a box or is it an envelope or what is it?
Yeah, so I put a box together. I like to FedEx the box because it gets past any gatekeepers or anything like that, and it's treated with a bit more urgency when it goes FedEx. So that's how I send my box. And inside that box, I'll do a little bit about me, just a little bit about my background so they can understand that. I'll give them some client testimonials. I may include an article that had recently been done in a local magazine or a local newspaper of which I was featured, so they can also see some projects. Of course, they can see my portfolio online, but it's just another authority builder, right? And then I will also put in there some commonly asked questions. Why do you do it this way? You know, that kind of thing. What do I do if I see this? How do I handle disagreements, or, you know, that there's a lot of spousal disagreements when it comes to design. So, you always have to kind of address that. And then I do a monthly newsletter, so I'll put that in there, a couple issues of that. And that just gives them a sense of who I am, what's important to me as a designer, a little bit more about just getting to know me and my voice and things like that. And then I'll put in, of course, a small little snack and some drinks and a little gift, and I just say, please peruse this information and let me know when we have our meeting if there's any questions or anything that you want to go over specifically, because it just sets the tone. I talk about how I work and why I do it this way and how long things take, and there's a lot of details when you're working on interior design and people have a lot of questions, so it answers so many of those questions ahead of time.
Well, I know that the FedEx box, I know what that looks like on the outside, but if you're putting in snacks and some drinks, have you actually had a custom inside the FedEx box, another box created so you have a place to put those drinks or those snacks?
Yeah, so I have my own white boxes that I use for my shock and awe boxes, and they can either fit inside a FedEx box or be the FedEx box.
Okay. And then the pieces you talked about, your newsletter, so I assume that's on paper, probably four-pager or something like that. You must have had a welcome letter, so I've got a mental picture of what that welcome letter might be. You talked about client testimonials. Do you put that in a different kind of format, or is that just a copied kind of pieces of paper?
Yeah, I usually put those on, I just put it on a printed piece of paper, just so they can get some ideas of what other people have said. And then in terms of the welcome letter, honestly, I do a handwritten note because I think that's a nicer, more personalized touch. So, you know, I do a handwritten note instead of a letter, and then the testimonials are printed, yes.
So you've got the printed testimonials, a handwritten note, brilliant, brilliant. You've got your newsletters, you've got some drinks, you've got some snacks. What else did I miss?
So I'll put in there an FAQ sheet, which is just some commonly asked questions that seem to come up over and over again, like what if I see something when I'm out? Why do things take so long? You know, what's going to happen next? What happens if my husband or wife and I don't agree on something you've shown us? You know, just commonly asked questions that come up over and over again. And then I do a project process, which just breaks down what would happen once we're hired, generally how long things will take before you see if the first deliverable, the second deliverable, that kind of thing, because people always want to know.
Okay, now you're in an area where there are more interior designers than any place in the country. Is there mm-hmm. any other designer you have run into in your neck of the woods that have done anything like that?
No.
So you're
That's
already...
why I'm doing it. That's why I'm doing it. Maybe after this, not anymore, but yeah, that's why I'm doing it.
Well, you know, it's so interesting. In the marketing world, we'll say, well, I'm not going to tell my competition that, you know. Thing is, they never do it either. You know, they'll say, oh, it's too much work, it's too hard, I don't know what to do, blah, 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 blah. So you've had a referral, whether it's a client or whether it's one of your business partners who has said, mm-hmm. this person is interested in talking about having you help them. They're building a new house, let's say.
Right.
So you give them a call and you say, and you have engaged them and say, I think we might have something we could do together. I have a something to send you in the mail. Mm-hmm. And so then you obviously get permission to get their address to mail it to them.
Correct.
And so then you mail them in, and do you set up the next appointment to come out to them right then, or do you wait until the box arrives?
Yeah, so I usually just set that in-person appointment about a week out and make sure that they get the shock and awe box within a day or two of our having our conversation. And the thing that I'm finding is that they're really diving into the information, they're reading it, they're excited about it. They love the fact that, you know, someone has thought all these things through and answered so many questions that are going on in their mind. You've heard that before. And then what happens is when we have our meeting, they only bring up a couple things that they're like, hey, this everything looks great. Because I'll also send a blank copy of my contract. So they know exactly what's coming and all of that. So they may say, hey, I have a couple questions about one or two things. And you answer them. And then it's, you know, if everything looks good on all ends, then you pretty much just put the contract together and it's a go. So you've created such a high level of trust and moved that sales process along so quickly.
Now, are they asking any kind of referrals or getting anything from anybody else, or are you the only one?
Sometimes they'll be interviewing three designers. Some people will. It kind of depends. I mean, referrals are pretty powerful. Usually they just want to talk to one person since they've been given a great recommendation. But I have run into situations where the one instance that I used the shock and awe box many years ago, and I don't use it this way anymore, but it was a commercial job and it was a bid situation. And so there were three designers that had been paid to put together three concepts and then from there present their ideas to the committee, but we were not allowed to present in person. So we had to provide our information and then the committee was going to go over all the submissions. And so I delivered a shock and awe box and said, it would be a gift to work with you. And in my shock and awe box was the proposal for all the things that we talked about and all the pictures and everything else, but all the other things that we just mentioned. And I got that job, and that was $110,000.
So yeah, that brings up another thing. I bet you're not the lowest priced in your area.
No, not at all.
Would you say you're one of the highest?
I would say I'm probably in the top 25%.
And again, with Dan Kennedy and talking about, you know, marketing to the affluent, which is what you're doing, they expect to pay, don't they?
Yes. They have no problem paying for expertise, but they want to be well taken care of. And then how are you going to show them that, right?
Well, they want value for the money. They don't want to be taken advantage of, but they want value for that money.
And they want somebody they can trust in an area that they know they don't really know what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else in that shock and awe box? Anything else you want to tell us? Because I want to move on to that you're now going to be coaching other designers.
No, I just make it a pretty package and, of course, use all my brand colors. And, you know, the presentation, I think, is everything, especially in my world, because you are judged on all of that, how things look as well. And so just taking careful time to put those together and get them sent out. I don't do that many of them, but they are highly effective.
Okay, so let's go on. So you want to start coach, or you are starting, you have started coaching. What made you decide to do that with other designers?
So to be honest with you, I was in a mastermind group, and we did hot seats every quarter when we got together. And I was finding myself at the microphone offering suggestions a lot because I like to brainstorm. I like to help people. And someone came up to me and said, are you going to start coaching in your industry? And it just kind of threw me for a loop, to be honest with you. It wasn't really something that I had thought of doing. I'd always identified as an interior designer my entire life, so never really thought there was like another step for me. And it just got the wheels turning and got me thinking, well, you know, what can I do next? How can I help next? How can I use this information that is so incredibly powerful to help other designers make it easier? Because it is an industry wrought with a lot of stress. We're dealing with a lot of creatives that don't, you know how to necessarily run a business that great. They're a little bit out of their element. Certainly marketing is very difficult, and they just hope that things come their way. And I thought, well, maybe I could help, you know, help someone make it a lot easier for them by imparting some of these techniques that really aren't that hard to implement and also tap into our creativity.
So that's your point. You know, what you've done is not like you're not putting a rocket on the moon. You know, it's very simple, but you learn those simple techniques and you use them over and over and over. And it's things that the other designers have no clue on. They've never gone to any kind of mastermind or any kind of thing to learn of those kind of things. So is it hard to get to the other designers to listen to you, or are you well known in your industry?
I mean, I think all of that's another process. It's sort of like you're starting over again, right? I mean, I feel like it's yet another business. And because this is online, right? This isn't in person. This is an online business. There's an added layer of complexity because it's a little bit of a different, it's a different widget, you know, in terms of teaching people these things. But I think that it's gathering steam. And I think that, you know, especially the shock and awe box, so many people have gravitated towards that because it is such a wonderful concept. It's very easy to implement. And to your point, everybody wants easy techniques that actually just work, right?
Yeah.
They don't need to be professionals and learning how to do ads and putting together websites and all these things. They just want really great clients to come their way. And I think there's some simple ways that they can do that. And the Shock and Awe Box is a pretty simple way to do that.
I should have asked you, you're doing a newsletter. That could be viewed as not as an easy thing to do. How often do you do it, and is it printed?
So I do a newsletter. I'm doing them once a month. And I'm not doing it printed. I would love that. And I always encourage people to do that because of the stickiness of a newsletter. I mean, they just sit around on the coffee table forever. And I've had people, you know, when I was doing a printed newsletter, say, I held on to this, or, you know, this article in a magazine or anything, that held on to it for 2 years. So there is such amazing stickiness. But for me, my clients live in several homes in several different places. So it's just not practical to mail a newsletter out because they're all over and I never know where they are. So I have been doing digital newsletters.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. You know your clients. And so that makes sense.
Yes, we want them to get the information. And every time I send a newsletter out, I get somebody picks up the phone and calls. So that's also pretty interesting.
That is pretty interesting. So when we go back to the designers, you know, there's a very high probability some of you listening to this will say, you know what, I need to, I mean, you could teach anybody how to do a shock and awe. They don't even have to be a designer. But how do you want them to get a hold of you, Pam? And is there any kind of offer that you want to give to those designers?
Well, yeah, so they could definitely check out my website, and I think I have given you that information. I'm sure you can link that in the show notes. I'm also very active on Instagram and LinkedIn, both under Pamela Durkin, so easy to find me. And I am putting together a new program, so thank you for asking about that. It's called the Design Business Bootcamp, and we're going to be talking about the shock and awe boxes and some other really easy techniques to market your business that just work and so easy to implement. So I'm excited to start, you know, having that first group come together.
So the best way is to go to Instagram or to LinkedIn to reach out to you, or would you like them to email you or call you? What's the best way?
I mean, you can send carrier pigeon if you want. I mean, you can definitely, I'm on all the things. So Instagram, LinkedIn, you can email me. It's pam@pamela-durkin.com. You know, send a smoke signal. I'll see it. It's okay.
Oh, that would be great. The last thing that I wanted to say is for those designers or those marketers who can do a printed newsletter and mail it to clients because they don't have five houses or whatever. For like 6 years, I've been designing and writing a newsletter for a client, and they have ended up on the very back page. They've got 12 businesses who are ideal to the list that they mail the newsletter to, and pays them $1,500 for the year to be on that quarterly. This one's a quarterly newsletter. So you could actually get your newsletter paid for, because there's other people that would like to reach those very same people. So
totally
that's
brilliant. Yeah, what a great suggestion. Yeah, so all your related trades that you do business with and that you work with on projects on a regular basis could be great.
Yeah, and what they also do is not only is it, it's just like a business card ad on the back, so there's 12 of them, space for 12 of them, but if they want an article written about them, they upsell it to $2,500. So yeah, write an article about one of those tradespeople and what they do and everything. So, well, Pam, this has been fun for me. I'm jealous. I wish you were closer, because I'd love to have my house redone. You know, it's always, I sit here and I think, oh man, I would change it every week if I could.
Oh, you're one of those. See, I'm like a one and done kind of girl, but hey, there's always,
really?
That's why, yeah, that's why Zoom is so good, because over the last couple of years, the world has become flat, a lot flatter than it was before. So
That's true. But you know, I sit here and I think, well, would that look good or not look good? Or, you know, so I am envious of your talents, that's for sure. So do you have any last words? If not, I'm looking at the clock and we are done.
No, I would just encourage people to use that shock and awe box technique because it is just so easy and so powerful, and it is applicable to so many industries.
No, you are right. I certainly, I created a shock and awe for a client one time, and it made him almost $1 million that one year. So anyway, I thank you for being my guest today. This was fun. I learned a lot. I even took notes, and so hopefully maybe one day I can have you back on the show. But thank you so much, Pam, for being here.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it. It was great being here.
Yeah. So this is Nina Hershberger and encouraging you to get out and make a difference. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Megabucks Radio with Nina Hershberger. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or to listen to past episodes, visit megabucksradio.com.